A second COVID-19 vaccine, this one by Moderna, is expected to roll out soon. Why it could have a more widespread impact.
It doesn't require the specialized freezers or dry ice like the Pfizer vaccine, and it comes in smaller order sizes. And so that could make it easier to get out to smaller hospitals in rural areas.
And from Washington, the latest on lawmakers' efforts to strike a deal on coronavirus aid. Plus, why sky watchers are looking out for a Christmas star on the upcoming solstice. It's Friday, December 18th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Lawmakers are planning to bring up a two-day spending patch to avoid a partial government shutdown after midnight as they continue to hash out the final details of a coronavirus aid package. That's according to people familiar with the plans. Our Capitol Hill reporter Andy Durin has more details.
So lawmakers are racing to finally finish up their months-long quest to pass another coronavirus relief bill. They're looking at roughly a $900 billion package that would include another direct check, likely for $600 to many Americans. It would send aid to schools, aid to small businesses. It would increase the size of unemployment checks that unemployed workers receive. So it would cover a whole bunch of different types of assistance, and it would be very large at $900 billion. There are still some obstacles in the way right now. They have been working for a few days on trying to iron out some differences over Federal Reserve emergency lending powers and a few other kind of things here and there.
U.S. stocks edged lower today as investors monitored whether COVID-19 infections and worsening economic data would push lawmakers to cement a coronavirus aid package. All three major indexes ended the day down after hitting fresh highs earlier this week on optimism over a new stimulus package. The Dow fell 117 points, or 0.4%. The S&P 500 also fell 0.4%, and the Nasdaq was down less than a tenth of a percent. Tesla shares shot to a record high on the eve of their inclusion in the S&P 500 index, punctuating a rally that's propelled the electric car maker into the ranks of the most valuable U.S. companies. Here's our markets reporter, Mike Wursthorn, with more.
Shares ended up rising about 6% to $695 apiece, some $40 a share higher than their last trade in the moments before the market closing auction at NASDAQ. Traders had said the firm's addition to the broad index raised the possibility of an epic squeeze as index funds scramble to buy shares. But now traders say the real test lies in the days and weeks ahead and whether Tesla can hold on to those gains and add to them. There are some skeptics who say that Tesla remains vulnerable to a pullback now that a lot of the demand that had come following the inclusion is going to abate.
And the Supreme Court has put off ruling on whether to count immigrants who were in the U.S. illegally in the census. The justices voted 6-3 to dismiss a challenge to President Trump's plan to exclude them from the population count, which is used to determine congressional seats. The conservative majority said it was premature to rule on the case because it's unclear whether the outgoing Trump administration could implement the policy. Coming up after the break, why the Moderna vaccine could widen immunization efforts in the United States. Vice President Mike Pence got a Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine shot today. He's the senior-most member of the administration known to have received it. Both Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi were also vaccinated. And President-elect Joe Biden and his wife Jill Biden are scheduled to get the shot on Monday. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration is expected to issue an emergency authorization for a second COVID-19 vaccine, this one from biotech company Moderna. The vaccine would help boost the nation's supply, and it could also ease some of the logistical challenges that distributors are facing as they ship millions of highly sensitive doses across the country. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus. Hi, Peter. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Peter, how many doses will this second vaccine add to overall supply, and how quickly can Moderna start getting it out there after the FDA's emergency use authorization is given?
Well, at first, the plan is that nearly 6 million doses of the Moderna vaccine would be shipped out in the first set of shipments, which would be most likely starting early next week. And then after that, there would be additional supplies. The speed at which they'll get them out, federal government that's sort of allocating these doses and overseeing the distribution has said that they would like to start distributing the doses within 24 hours of an authorization by the FDA.
So Moderna's vaccine uses the same mRNA gene technology as Pfizer and BioNTech's, but a significant difference here is that it doesn't need to be stored at ultra-cold temperatures. Peter, how will that impact the logistical efforts involved in shipping and distributing these vaccines?
It will impact them because it will shape which destinations receive which vaccine. So the Pfizer vaccine, yes, it does have to be stored at ultra-cold temperatures. And another factor is that the minimum order size for the Pfizer vaccine is 975 doses. And so this makes it more suitable, so to speak, for, say, a larger hospital system that will be able to use up those doses relatively quickly. Whereas the Moderna vaccine can be stored at higher temperatures, still cold, still frozen during shipment, but it doesn't require the specialized freezers or dry ice like the Pfizer vaccine, and it comes in smaller order sizes. And so that could make it easier to get out to smaller hospitals in rural areas.
How does the efficacy of Moderna's vaccine compare to that of Pfizer and BioNTech's vaccine?
They're very comparable. Pfizer's vaccine was shown to be about 95% effective in a big clinical trial, meaning that it protected the vast majority of people against COVID-19 disease with certain symptoms. And then Moderna's vaccine was about 94% effective in a separate trial, but very much in the same ballpark.
What about potential side effects from taking the Moderna vaccine? Are they comparable to what we've seen in the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine so far?
I think they're comparable in that both vaccines, you know, I think a lot of people can expect to experience things like injection site pain or headache or fatigue, in some cases even chills and fever, so something that would resemble having the flu. And so I think for both vaccines, that's a possibility. I think for most of those kinds of side effects they saw in the clinical trials that they were kind of mild to moderate and went away within a day or two. But there were significant percentages who had more severe cases of those. And so it's something that I think federal officials and regulators want people to be prepared for. And in some cases, it could even affect your ability to do things that first day or two. So I know that a lot of hospitals are trying to stagger their vaccinations of their own workforce so that not everybody is sort of out of commission for a day after getting vaccinated at the same time.
Can you talk more about those side effects? They have some people concerned about taking these vaccines.
I think for some of the side effects, like injection site pain and perhaps headache, they did occur in the majority of people, you know, in some cases, a significant majority of the people that were vaccinated in these clinical trials. But I think it was a much smaller percentage that experienced those things to a severe degree. And those kinds of side effects are generally regarded as being very much related to what the vaccine is supposed to be doing, which is triggering an immune response that prepares you in case you do encounter the coronavirus. And so that immune response is accompanied by some of these side effects. And so I think there's generally a thought that those kinds of things, even though people should be prepared for them, you know, aren't a huge concern and aren't considered a real serious long-term safety risk. I think the more serious long-term safety risks, you know, the FDA has said they haven't seen anything specific that would cause them to say, don't use these vaccines. But there's a lot of government officials and health regulators and others who are just trying to keep an eye on more serious side effects as these vaccines get rolled out.
What will approval of this vaccine mean for Moderna, which has also been using mRNA gene-based technology in other products? What's the significance of that for this company?
It will be significant because this would be the first product to get some sort of authorization from a government regulator for widespread use from Moderna. So Moderna has been around for about 10 years. They're a relatively small biotech company outside Boston, and they've been working on this gene-based mRNA technology to try to come up with new drugs and vaccines for various diseases for about 10 years. But up until this point, the drugs that they have been testing haven't advanced to the point of getting a regulatory green light. And so because of that, before this year, I think there were a lot of questions about whether this technology was any good, whether it was actually going to yield what Moderna believed it could. So I think the authorization of this COVID vaccine does provide some kind of validation that this technology can work. And so I think it gives more hope that could then be used for other drugs and vaccines to treat different diseases.
Wall Street Journal pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus. Peter, thank you so much for keeping us up to date.
My pleasure.
And finally, a bright spot, literally, to lighten what has been a less than stellar year for many of us. Astronomers are tracking the alignment of our solar system's two biggest planets, Jupiter and Saturn, and it's stirring comparisons to the so-called Christmas Star of Bethlehem. Here's our Wall Street Journal science writer, Robert Lee Hotz.
They're going to align in an event that really, you know, it's so rare, it's only happened twice since the Middle Ages. Day by day, they've been getting closer and closer and closer all month. And on the winter solstice, which is the 21st of December, this Monday, they will almost overlap. They'll look like a double planet in the sky. And the thing that's particularly fun about this, really, is that it will be bright enough to see just after sunset, if you're looking toward the western horizon, with a pair of binoculars. I mean, anybody can look at this. And it's a wonderful reminder that we live in the middle of this big, huge celestial clockworks that's like ticking away through the centuries.
You can see it by looking low on the western horizon at dusk. Jupiter and Saturn will rise and set within the first hour or so after sunset. The alignment peaks on Monday, but will still be visible on Christmas night. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week by Trinae Nori and Sam Westren, with help from Janet Babin, Paolo Bossanin, Keith Collins, Jenny Ang, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Charlie Turner, J.R. Whalen, and Chris Sinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.